T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the podcast. Remember when I told you, oh, way back on, I don't know, Thursday, that she's the president, not him? And I even documented how Joe has wandered around for months referring to himself in speeches as the transitional candidate. That audio I put on the Thursday podcast as well. Well, last week, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, Democrat, flipped Republicans out by pushing a bill, no, taking the time to do a press conference on it, too, about the 25th Amendment and how we just suddenly just have to have a commission, a 25th Amendment commission, to determine the president's fitness for holding office. Now, remember how the 25th Amendment works. It allows the vice president and a majority of the presidential cabinet to determine if the president's unfit to serve, or it delegates that authority to another body, such other body as Congress may by law provide. She's setting up the committee to do this. Well, Republicans flipped out. Obviously, she's trying to intimate that Trump's, you know, crazy from having COVID. We're going to take him out. Until she said something, quite frankly, this is Pelosi, quote, "This is not about President Trump. He will face the judgment of the voters," she said. Now, keep this in mind. The House is not scheduled to be in session until after Election Day. So Democrats clearly aren't pushing this bill to take out Trump right now. Who's it for? Well, let's go back to who Biden considers himself to be. Folks, they've told him this. He has accepted this. He is not in control. He is not making the decisions. He is their Trojan horse, the doddering old man at the gate. Not very scary, maybe a little nicer than Trump. She's the radical. They're slipping in using the Trojan horse. A radical who could never be elected in her own right. She supports outlawing private health insurance. I've played you the clips before. Free health care for illegals paid for by taxpayers, and decriminalizing border crossing, which means that border guard can't approach people crossing. Anyone can cross at any time. It is, in a nutshell, the globalist agenda and way too radical to run on. So they're slipping her in under the gate. And this commission is to get rid of Joe. Just last week, once again, in a stump speech, Joe Biden referred to himself as a transitional candidate, transitioning to the younger generation in the Democrat Party. He's been saying it since May. Let me play it again.
So, Mr. Vice President, you made a comment last night in an interview with Bob Costa of The Washington Post where you said, "I view myself as a transition candidate making way for the Mayor Pete's of the world to come into my administration." Some people read that as you saying you were sort of a placeholder and that, don't worry, I'm going to open the door to this more progressive movement, perhaps led by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others. What did you mean when you called yourself a transition candidate?
It doesn't have to do with philosophy. It has to do with, we have not given the bench, the younger people in the party, the opportunity to have the focus and be in focus for the rest of the country. There's an incredible group of talented, newer, younger people. I ran this time because I think the issues that are before us are happen to be in my wheelhouse. I said from the beginning, we're going to inherit a divided country as well as a world in disarray.
Okay, yeah. He knows. He knows what it's going to be. Let's let her tell us.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
Or will it be? The polls look pretty depressing right now. But then there's these other signs that don't. Let's start with what Ted Cruz said. It's essentially what I've been saying. And you got to read the tea leaves here. He's seen Senate race polling. He's not going to tell you what it says. So what is Ted Cruz not saying here? He's not saying Trump's got this. He's not saying we've got this. He's saying, I don't know. So I get these texts all the time on the text line. Do people tell me it's going to be a blowout? It's going to be an absolute landslide. Look, no, you can't vote like that. You got to assume this is a razor's edge election. And Cruz is essentially saying that here.
I think there's an incredible volatility in politics right now. The delta between possible outcomes is as wide as I've ever seen. So I said, look, I think there's a scenario. I believe President Trump can win. In fact, I believe he can have a significant victory and Republicans could take both houses of Congress. But I also think it's possible that we see a Democratic sweep where they win everything and it is a victory of Watergate proportions. And I don't recall an election in my life with the spread, the delta between those two possible outcomes this close to an election being that wide. And Chuck, I think the outcome really turns on two things. Number one, it turns on optimism. If people are optimistic and hopeful about the future, if they're going back to work, that will be a factor in a very good election for Republicans. If they're pessimistic and depressed and hopeless, that will help the Democrats.
But then there's these other signs. Now, keep in mind, Hillary Clinton got 65 million votes and could barely fill half a high school gym when she did appearances. Trump topped out at 63 million votes, the highest a Republican's ever gotten, but 2 million short of what Hillary did. So, you know, turnout for events is not always the indicator we think that it is. However, an astonishing thing happened over the weekend in Miami. There were two dueling car rallies. One was a Biden rally. That was on Sunday. One was for Trump on Saturday. The Miami police put the number of people at the rally. And folks, keep in mind, this wasn't just a Trump car rally. This was a Latino Trump car rally. It was billed as an anti-communist, anti-socialist rally, particularly for Latinos from Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. You know how many cars turned out, according to the Miami Police Department Twitter feed, their official Twitter feed? 30,000. That is a staggering number. There were 15 for Joe. On Sunday. 15 for Joe on Sunday. I don't know what that means, but it's good for Trump because Trump has got to win. If he loses Florida, it's over. You see Florida go down, election night's over. We're done. Can't win without Florida. There are these other signs out there too, and I don't know what to make of them. And, you know, I have had a lot of bad news for you in terms of there being more of them than us. And if they come out at full strength, they simply show up, we can't win. It doesn't matter how hard we try or how good we are. I mean, there were 70 million votes for Barack Obama in 2012. If they all come out again, the most we've ever pulled was 63 million. We're not going to bridge that gap. We're just simply not going to make up that many votes. It's a tough row to hoe. But there's these other signs out there that are interesting, like this Gallup poll. Gallup asked voters whether they and their family are better off today. Keep in mind, we're in the middle of a pandemic than they were 4 years ago. 56% said they are better off today than 4 years ago. In the middle of a pandemic, folks. Now, approaching the end of President Reagan's first term, only 44% said they were better off. So Trump's doing 12 points better than the Reagan landslide. At the end of Obama's first term, the figure was 45%. It's 56% right now. So this is an important metric. Gallup's watched it for years because they've been asking this question for decades. And they write, quote, all incumbents with an approval rating of 50% or higher on that question have won re-election, and presidents with approval ratings much lower than 50% have lost. So we'll see. Meanwhile, a set of stunning statements from Biden leading into and over the weekend. First, he said he'll let you know his opinion on court packing when the election is over. And then he even agreed with a reporter that voters don't deserve to know his position on it. This would have been a nuclear level gaffe had Trump made it. The kind of devastating comments they'd have played on loop for the next 2 weeks really could have taken him out, but it's Biden, so it's all good. Take a listen to the two statements back to back.
You'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking it. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that.
Then he said this.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts. And I know that
sure.
You said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election. But this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
Folks, I can't tell you how serious this is, this idea of the left packing the court. It will change the entire way the court operates. That actually began last year. Remember when I told you about the letter that the Democrat senators wrote in 2019 to the members of the Supreme Court, literally threatening them in a gun case out of New York, that if they didn't rule the way that the Democrat senators wanted, they would face repercussions, that the Supreme Court had become an amoral body and it would need to be fixed. What they're saying is, you want to stay on the Supreme Court, you rule the way that we say. They start packing that court. That's exactly what the court members will have to do. They'll have to call Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer before they make a ruling to see how it polls in the swing states. That's exactly what will happen. Here's Ron DeSantis, Republican governor of Florida, warning about that. He's talking about packing the court. And by the way, packing the court is where they change the number of justices. Say they go to 25. So now it's a majority liberal justice court. Here, DeSantis is talking about the Democrats wanting to add D.C. and Puerto Rico as states. The reason they want to do this is it would give them four more senators, two for D.C., two for Puerto Rico, and they'll beat Democrat because those areas are Democrat, making it very hard for the Republicans to ever win the Senate back again. Okay, so here's Governor Ron DeSantis on this.
The left wing in our country has gotten so radicalized over these last 4 years that I think the stakes of the election are much higher than even 2016. And think about this, like trying to make D.C. a state, you would need to change the Constitution for that. You can't do it by statute, but they will pack the Supreme Court. They will have left-wing justices who will end up rubber stamping it. So you're looking at really significant changes to the kind of the underpinnings of the republic. It's not just that your taxes may go up. Your taxes will go up, but there's going to be a change in the character of our institutions if they have their way.
Of course, if they could do that with statehood, they could do it with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, whatever they want to erase or paper over. But it's even worse than that. What they're trying to do is implement what I call dual justice at the Supreme Court level. In other words, decisions based entirely or almost entirely on the partisan views of the people involved. If you have a politicized Supreme Court like that, for instance, remember when the Obama administration took two conflicting views? They filed briefs in the Christian Baker cases saying, hey, if you're a baker, you got to bake the cake. But they also filed briefs on behalf of Muslim drivers who did not want to deliver beer because that's against their religion, they say. And they were on the other side of that, said, oh, yeah, you're Muslim. You shouldn't have to deliver beer if your religion says that's a bad thing. Okay, both those things can't happen. It's called precedent. It has to be one or the other, and then it is used to make decisions in the lower court level in the future. Well, this will absolutely bastardize judicial precedent. Well, no, see, I don't know. Is the guy's a Muslim? Yeah, they vote Democrat. Okay, yeah, so no, he doesn't have to drive the truck. But if it's a Christian baker, yeah, they got to do. I mean, you're not going to have precedent as it becomes politicized. It will destroy the institution. That's what the Supreme Court creates, is precedent. Marsha Blackburn, senator, put it the best way in describing what they want to do with the courts. And this is why it's such a big deal that Biden won't say what he'll do. Blackburn said, quote, make no mistake, when they talk about packing the Supreme Court, they are talking about a partisan takeover and overthrow of one of our three branches of government. Absolutely. That's what they're doing. And this is where the shock troops come in. This is why the shock troops, the Antifas, are not going away. They need them as an instrument of political intimidation because people are going to buck this. People are going to speak out. They're going to be pushed to the edge and they're not going to want to take it. And this is where street level intimidation is so important for the left. This all has a purpose. It's not random. If you're going to do something this radical as remaking major U.S. institutions, You need a radical control mechanism to push back against those who will inevitably push back against you. I'll explain more on the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You can look at what happened to Madison Cawthorn, wheelchair-bound North Carolina politician, won the GOP nomination in his congressional district. This is in Henderson County. Activists from far-left Antifa attacked homes across the district that displayed his signs. Here's what he writes on Facebook. He puts pictures of this up. My opponent's strike force inflicted thousands of dollars of damage to both public and private property. The Henderson County GOP office was defaced with graffiti, as were many businesses and local homes that displayed support signs for my candidacy and other Republicans. They were attacked and their signs defaced. Personally, my home was targeted. My property was vandalized by thugs acting in support of my opponent's vision for the district. These left-wing enforcers spray-painted threats of violence and echoed my opponent's words as they symbolically crushed my head and neck on each sign deposited on my property. The most disturbing report about last night's events involves my opponent refusing to denounce these acts of aggressive violence. Just weeks ago, a well-known reporter was attacked by leftist groups in downtown Asheville, the same groups who have held rallies in support of my opponent. His opponent's a Democrat. When asked to condemn such violent acts against impartial members of the media, my opponent was silent. Today, my opponent is silent again. This is how they intend to use them, but not just against elected officials. Did you hear what Yelp did? Folks, this is the way we're going to live if they win this election. Yelp has announced that it's going to attach online notices to businesses, because Yelp is a restaurant food rating website to go on there and figure out where's good to eat. You go on there to figure out, is it a good place to eat? You read reviews. They're going to start labeling certain companies as racist based on customers' experiences there. Folks, it's going to be about 5 minutes before somebody, some business owner, gets labeled as a racist because he's got a Trump sign in his yard or because he has a Back the Blue sticker on his car. That's coming. What is the purpose of this? Well, we can already tell by going to the Twitter feed of Andy Nageau, the journalist out of Portland who has documented Antifa's behavior. It's a target list. He tweets, with Yelp announcing it is going to put notices on businesses accused of racist behavior, one Antifa group responsible for organizing the violent protest in Portland is now compiling a list. And they're planning to use the Yelp app to figure out who to target. This is exactly what this is for, to create the terror. Remember when I told you this would spread from the NFL and the NBA? Where now at the NFL, everybody, including coaches, staff, all of them, anybody going to be on the field, is given an option of various Black Lives Matter slogans to put on their helmet, or if they're a coach on a shirt, or victims of police brutality. So it's assumed everyone will participate. So if you're not participating, you become the racist. That's how that works. You can't opt out. You can't say, I'm just going to be neutral. Nope, neutral is racist. That's where they're going with this. You are not allowed to be politically neutral. To protect yourself, you're going to have to adopt the signs, the symbols, the slogans, of the party, in this case, the Democrat Party, or you'll never be safe. This is the beginning of normalizing what you've seen at the NFL and NBA across our society. That's terrifying, considering these groups were greenlighted by the Department of Homeland Security last week. I talked about that. They put out a 20-page threat assessment, largely written by the FBI, that never mentioned Antifa, but talked about right-wing groups. Oh, speaking of right-wing groups, remember that militia we were told about? You know the one that was going to kidnap Governor Whitmer? Yeah, turns out they're not very right-wing. Whitmer and then Biden and the news media condemned Trump for this, said it was his rhetoric that was causing this. But now more information about the leaders of that group have come out. You want to hear it? The leaders of the group arrested. Several were pictured with the anarchist flag Antifa uses in the background. One says he hates Trump. One attended a Black Lives Matter protest and dissed cops as violent in a media interview conducted at the protest. And others have said they hate cops and believe cops are violent. Here's one of their leaders. You can't see this because it's a podcast. But behind him as he says this, he's got the anarchist symbol, the A with the burning circle around it. Again, none of these are right-wing things or right-wing philosophies. But they're managing to pin their violence on the right. Here's what one of their leaders, Brandon Caserta, said about Trump. He was one of those arrested.
No, Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually like believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant. Every single person that works for government is your enemy, dude.
So on the one hand, you have the media helping the left to blame the activities of a clearly anarchist group on Trump. On the other hand, this weekend, you have a second kill for the Antifa Bernie bro crowd. It's as plain as the nose on your face. This time it happened in Denver, and it was at a pro-police Patriot rally. We were told by the media that the guy who did it was a security guard working for a news group. Then we learned that, you know, protecting the photographer and producer who was there. Then we learned that the guy isn't licensed as a security guard in the state. You have to be licensed to work. Then the news agency itself, News 9 in Denver, admitted that he was not an employee of the contractor they hired to provide in security. He did not work for the contractor. They say he wasn't paid. What does that mean? Well, then you dig deeper into who this guy was. He was regularly seen at Bernie Sanders rallies. He was part of the Occupy Denver movement. He had pro-BLM and Antifa stuff all over his website, his, you know, social media. And he had F the police all over the place. The photographer for the news station, who he was protecting, and I put that in quotes, is herself a liberal activist who relied on Antifa for protection during their canned food drive. Did you hear that? They collected canned foods and then hurled the cans at cops. She was protected by Antifa as she took pictures. So you know what this sounds like to me? Antifa has security crews that go out with them. They actually wear security shirts, and their job is to keep the cops off the protesters, to keep anyone from standing in the protesters' way, and to keep them safe even as they commit violence. That's what security does. I have a feeling this is the security, and I suspect what happened is that the producer and the photographer told police this was their security guy. Turns out he was not. So he's now, it appears, going to be charged with murder. But the media is covering this. Oh, just a security guy, no big deal, it's okay. And they just smooth over the body count. So we're at a body count of two now. Absolute out and out execution. This case and the Proud Boys protester who was executed in Portland for being seen in public with a pro-police badge on his shorts. So on the one hand, let's put this all together. You've got the FBI covering for Antifa. The director of the FBI insisting they're more of an idea. You've got the Department of Homeland Security putting out a 20-page report on threats to the homeland that doesn't even mention Antifa, which that's how you greenlight them. well, we're not watching you. We don't. We're not interested in you. You go ahead, keep doing whatever you want. They say white supremacists are the real threat. So they've been green-lighted. Can you imagine in a Joe Biden administration where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have both been given multiple opportunities to condemn Antifa and the street violence, and they absolutely refuse to condemn the people responsible? They deflect and say it's Trump supporters. They will have absolute free reign. There will be no federal interference whatsoever with their activities. And where you go to stop them would be to stop the money and the coordination between their leaders that we know is going on, because the same Department of Homeland Security that did not mention Antifa in their threat assessment accidentally had leaked from the Department of Homeland Security, somebody inside did it, threat assessments of Antifa that said that they were dangerous and that their leadership was coordinated across states and used the same tactics. So we know the Department of Homeland Security knows, yet they didn't even put it in the threat assessment because they're planning to give them a pass. While the FBI tries to spin clearly an anarchist group that wants to kidnap Governor Whitmer as some sort of right-wing, militia-type confab. See how this works? They will not protect you in a Biden administration. That is a force multiplier. If you're Antifa and you don't have to worry about anyone coming after you from a RICO point of view and the feds turn their head, that makes you infinitely more powerful than those they will go after, which would be anybody on the other side. This is how dual justice begins to equal power for the left. You know what scares me? I'm afraid that many Americans will make a calculation on election day, particularly those who are not super well informed, and say, listen, it's just I can't stand. I'm so tired. I'm worn out. I can't stand the chaos that, you know, these look, Trump's got people so upset their industries. I just want this to end. I want to go back to normal. So I'm just going to vote for Biden. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we are never going back to normal if Biden and Harris are elected. The Democrats will read this as having had to pay no price for deploying their street shock troops and doing the violence they've done and funding them. They will never give up the source of power that those shock troops represent. This is a targeted hit force that can be sent to people's homes to intimidate them and maybe eventually worse. The way that it is now with the targeted violence, the political persecution, that will only get worse if you give them a mandate. Don't take my word for it. Here's Kamala Harris on Colbert talking about the people in the streets, which has been Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
Says the woman whose campaign website gets a redirect from Antifa.com straight. You go to Antifa.com, it goes straight to the Biden-Harris fundraising pitch. Need I say more? Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Battleground America. Please subscribe and share with like-minded friends and family across the country.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on radio.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure to share with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.